Miami University Radio presents Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol.
Christmas, that's old Scrooge.
Yes, that is old Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge. It is the afternoon before Christmas Day in the year of our Lord, 1844. Despite the bitterly cold weather, all of London is in a festive mood, but there is no happy expression on Ebenezer Scrooge's lined face as he closes the front door of his warehouse and returns to his office. He throws a glowering look at his clerk, Bob Cratchit. Satisfied that the poor wretch is hard at work, Scrooge adjusts his spectacles. Then, without warning, in comes his nephew.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Bah! Humbug!
Christmas, a humbug? Surely you don't mean that, Uncle.
Merry Christmas, indeed. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer. If I had my way, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. You keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
I came here to ask you to spend Christmas Day with Peg and me.
No.
But we want nothing from you, Uncle, other than your company. Won't you change your mind and have dinner with us?
Good afternoon, Fred.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Bah, humbug!
Pardon me, Mr. Scrooge, but there's a gentleman here to see you.
Now, what about, Cratchit?
Well, you didn't say, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Well, Mr. Marley, my former partner, has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
Well, then I have no doubt his liberality is well represented by a surviving partner.
Now, what do you want?
At this festive season, Mr. Scrooge, we try to make some slight provision for the poor and destitute. Many thousands are in want of common necessities.
Well, are there no prisons?
Oh, plenty of prisons.
And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
Well, I wish I could say they were not. How much shall I put you down for, Mr. Scrooge?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Exactly. Let these deserving people of yours go to the establishments I just mentioned.
Most of them would rather die than do that.
Then let them die and help decrease the surplus population. I'm busy. Good afternoon to you.
Very well, Mr. Scrooge. Merry Christmas to you.
Charity, bah, humbug, plain rot.
Mr. Scrooge, sir.
Oh, what is it, Cratchit?
I was wondering...
You were wondering if you could go home.
Yes, sir. It's getting late.
Yes, go on. You want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
If quite convenient, sir.
Well, it's not convenient, and it's not fair.
Well, it's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th day of December. I suppose you must have the whole day, but be here all the earlier the next day, understand?
Yes, sir. And Merry Christmas.
Christmas, humbug! Bah!
A few minutes later, Scrooge leaves his warehouse and makes his way to his melancholy chambers, a gloomy suite of rooms. By the light of a single flickering candle, he eats his cold supper. And then, to save lighting his stove, Ebenezer Scrooge retires for the night. The minutes tick away. Scrooge sleeps uneasily, tossing from side to side. Try as he would, though, peace would not come. Suddenly he awakes with a start. Walking towards him and dragging a heavy chain is a gray, dim figure of a man. It stops at the foot of the bed.
Who are you? What do you want with me? Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
You're...
Yes. In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marlowe.
But it can't be so. You're dead.
You don't believe in me?
No. You're nothing but an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese.
You are wrong, Ebenezer. I am the ghost of Jacob Marley.
Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death.
No, I don't believe it.
It is then doomed to wander through the world.
Oh, you're chained, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I wore it of my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you?
I don't understand.
This chain I wear is as heavy as the one you are now forging.
You talk strangely, Jacob.
For 7 years I have been dead, traveling the whole time. No rest, no peace, only remorse.
But, Jacob, you were always shrewd.
I, too shrewd.
A good man of business.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. But I heeded none of these. Instead, I thought only of money.
And what is wrong with making money?
That is your fault, Ebenezer, as it was mine. That is why I am here tonight. That is part of my penance. I am here to warn you, to help you escape my fate. You have one chance left.
Tell me how this chance will come.
My time draws near. I must go. Tonight you will be haunted by three spirits. The first one will appear when the bell strikes one. Expect the second at the stroke of two, and the third as the bell tolls three.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over with?
No, and heed them when they appear.
As Scrooge stares in frightened silence, the wraith-like figure of his deceased partner dissolves into space. Then, exhausted by the ordeal, Scrooge drops off to sleep. 12 o'clock comes. Time passes. Then... the curtains of Scrooge's bed are drawn aside, but by no visible hand. There, by the bed, stands an unearthly visitor, a strange figure, clad like a child. Its hair is white, and in its hand it holds a sprig of fresh green holly. Scrooge stares and then speaks.
Are you the spirit whose coming was told me by Jacob Marley?
I am.
Oh, who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past. Rise and walk with me.
Where?
Out through the window.
But we are 3 stories above ground. I'm only a mortal.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
Well, what are we to do?
I'm going to help reclaim you. Come, walk with me out into the night, into the past.
Tell me, ghost of Christmas past, where are we?
Look down, Ebenezer, and remember back.
Why, of course, the river... the meadows, and why, there's my old school. I went there as a lad. But there's no one about.
It's Christmas holiday. Let us look into this study hall.
Empty, except for a young boy sitting at his desk, his head in his hands. Left behind. He's crying. Poor chap. No place to go at Christmas. And now he's looking up.
Do you recognize him?
Why, it's...
What's his name?
Ebenezer Scrooge. I wish... But it's too late now.
What's the matter?
Nothing. There were some boys singing Christmas carols outside my warehouse yesterday afternoon. I drove them away.
Let us see another Christmas. It's a year later. Once again, it's Christmas time.
And again, there is the school.
That boy standing in the driveway, pacing up and down.
It is I.
And what do you see?
A coach coming up the driveway. Now it has stopped, and a little girl gets out. Look, she is hugging me. It's Fan, my sister.
Listen to what she says. I've come to bring you home, dear brother. Father's not mean anymore. And he says you're never coming back here. And from now on, we'll always be together. Just think. Together for the first time in 4 years. Your sister was a delicate creature. Kind, big-hearted.
Oh, so she was. She died comparatively young.
She left one child behind her.
Yes, Fred, my nephew.
He was in to wish you a Merry Christmas yesterday.
Yes, he did so. Please take me back.
Not yet. There is one more shadow.
No more. I do not wish to see it.
You must. The years have passed. In this house below, look, there sits a young girl. A young, beautiful girl.
It's Belle.
The girl you were to marry. And there you sit next to her. A young man in your prime. Only now your face begins to show the signs of avarice. There is a greedy, restless motion in your eyes. Listen to what she is saying to you.
It matters very little to you. Another idol has displaced me. A golden one. You hold money more important than me or anything else, for that matter. And I'm going to grant your wish. Free you from marrying me. That is the way you wish it, Ebenezer. I feel sorry for you.
No spirit, show me no more.
Today, Belle is a happy woman, surrounded with her fine children. Those children might have been yours if you hadn't been so selfish.
Take me back. Haunt me no more. I beg of you, don't.
The steeple clock has just finished striking the second hour of Christmas Day. Scrooge finds himself back in his bedroom, but slowly his door, though bolted, swings open.
Good morning, Ebenezer. Welcome me. I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me.
You're practically a giant, yet you have a young face.
Have you ever seen the like of me before?
Never.
I have many brothers, over 1,800 of them, one for each Christmas since the very first.
And you are here to take me with you?
Yes. I trust you will profit by your journey. Touch my robe, Ebenezer.
People in this church, they seem very happy.
Oh, they are, for they are giving thanks for all the joys brought to them during the year.
And the crew of that ship over there, look, they're shaking hands with their captain.
Wishing him a Merry Christmas. But come, we have not much time left, and there is still another place we must visit. It is a very poor house in a very poor section of London. This one, directly below us.
Indeed it is. Who, may I ask, lives here?
a certain underpaid clerk named Bob Cratchit.
The Bob Cratchit who was employed by me?
The very same.
That woman, those four children.
His wife and family.
They're coming up the stairs right now. That's Cratchit. He's carrying a young boy.
His fifth child, Tiny Tim.
Yeah, he carries a crutch.
Because he is crippled.
But the doctors, couldn't they?
Cratchit cannot afford a doctor, not on 15 shillings a week.
But certainly...
Listen.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And the most Merry Christmas.
Father, Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And how did Tiny Tim behave at church?
As good as gold and better.
I was glad to be able to go to church. That's because I wanted the people to see that I'm a cripple.
Now, that's a peculiar thing to say, Tiny Tim.
No, it isn't. That's because I was in God's house, and it was God who made the blind able to see and the lame able to walk. And when the people at church saw me in my crutch, I was hoping they would think of what God can do and that they would say a prayer for me.
I'm certain they must have prayed for you.
And one of these days I'm going to get well, and that'll mean I can throw away this crutch and run around and play like other boys.
You will, Tim, one of these days.
And now, Mother, the big question, when will dinner be ready?
Yeah.
It's ready now. Just about the finest goose you've ever seen. Martha, carry it in. Tom, fetch the potatoes and turnips. Dick, Peter, set the chairs around the table.
I'll sit between Father and Mother.
This is going to be the best Christmas dinner anyone could hope for. And I'm the luckiest man in the world, having such a fine family.
It isn't a very big goose, is it? I could eat the whole bird myself, I believe.
Well, it is all Bob Cratchit can afford. His family doesn't complain. To them, that meager goose is a sumptuous banquet. And more important, much more important, Ebenezer.
Well, go on, go on.
They are a happy and a united group. Look at their shining faces. Listen to them.
Yeah. What a superb dinner we have had. The tempting meat, the delicious dressing.
And the plum pudding, Father. Don't forget that.
That pudding was the greatest success achieved by Mrs. Cratchit since our marriage.
Thank you for the compliment.
And now for the crowning touch, the punch. Here we are. Get your glasses now. You, Peter, Dick, Tom, Martha, Tiny Tim, and last but far from least, you, Mother. And not to forget myself. There.
A toast.
First to the founder of this feast, the man who has made it possible, I give you Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon. I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children. Christmas Day.
He's a hard, stingy, unfeeling man. You know he is, Robert, better than anyone else.
My dear, remember Christmas Day.
I'm sorry. Very well. I'll drink to his health. Long life to him. Merry Christmas to him. To Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge!
And now a toast to us. A Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us all.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see only a vacant seat in the chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, no, oh no, kind spirit, say he will live, that he will be spared.
Why concern yourself about him? Isn't it better that he die and decrease the surplus population?
But these poor people must be helped.
Are there no prisons? And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
Oh, please do not taunt me.
It is time for us to go.
No, I wish to remain.
I can remain no longer. Touch my robe and we shall go.
No, no, Spirit, don't desert me. I need your help. Don't desert me.
As Ebenezer Scrooge comes to his senses, he discovers himself standing on the street outside of his lodgings. A heavy snow is falling, blanketing a sleeping London. The wind has died down. It is still early Christmas morning.
Ebenezer Scrooge!
You are the third and last.
I am the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
You are about to show me shadows of things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Is this so, Spirit?
Yes, Ebenezer. That is correct.
I tremble at going with you. I fear what I am to see.
Come, Ebenezer.
Why do we stop here on this street corner, Spirit?
These two men standing there, do you know them?
Why, yes, I do business with them.
Their conversation is interesting.
Say, when did he die, anyway?
Last night, I believe.
You know, I thought he'd never die.
What has he done with his money?
I haven't heard. Left it to his company, perhaps. Well, one thing is certain, he didn't leave it to charity.
Are you going to the funeral?
Not unless a free lunch is provided.
A very good point. Can't say I blame you.
Spirit, this dead man they were discussing, who is he?
I will show you.
This room, it's dark. It's hard to see.
On this bed is the man those people on the street were discussing.
And no one has come to claim his body?
No one, for he left not a friend behind him. Come closer and look into his face.
No! Look, Spirit, this is a fearful place. Let us go.
Look at the face of this unclaimed man.
I would do it if I could, but I haven't the power. Let me see some tenderness connected with a death. If I don't, that lonely body in this dark room will ever, ever haunt me.
Yes, I know of such a home, one where there is tenderness connected with death, over here on this poor street and in this dismal house.
But this house, why, yes, I've been here before. Bob Cratchit, my clerk, lives here. There is Mrs. Cratchit and her eldest daughter, Martha.
Your eyes, Mother. You've been crying.
Yes, I mustn't show them to your father when he comes home. It's time he was here.
Yes, Father's late, but these days he walks slower than he used to, Mother.
I have known him to walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder very fast indeed. He was very light to carry, and your father loved him so that it was no trouble. There is your father now at the door. You're late tonight, Robert.
Yes, I'm late.
I'll get some tea for you, Father.
Thank you, Martha.
You went there today, Robert?
Yes, I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green the place is.
I'll see it soon.
I promised him I would walk there every Sunday. My poor Tiny Tim. At last he got rid of his crutch.
Yes, at last he did. Our poor Tiny Tim.
Tell me, Spirit, why did Tiny Tim have to die?
Come. There is still another place to visit.
A graveyard? Why do we pause here?
That tombstone. Read the name on it.
Before I do, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they the shadows of the things that may be?
The inscription on the tombstone.
It reads, Ebenezer Scrooge. No, Spirit, oh, no, no, no. Hear me. I am not the man I was. I will be the man I must have been, but for this lesson, I will honor Christmas in my heart.
But will you?
Oh, yes. I will try and keep it alive all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. I will not shut out the lesson that all three spirits have taught me. Oh, tell me there is hope, that I may wipe away the writing on this stone. Oh, tell me there is hope that I may wipe away the writing on this stone. Tell me that... Hey, what am I holding on to? The bedpost? I'm in my own bed, at home. Those bells... It must be Christmas Day. Christmas Day. I wonder if it really is. We shall see. Open the window. You, boy, down there.
Eh?
What day is today, my fine lad?
Today? Why, today, Christmas Day, of course.
Pen, to think the spirits have done it all in one night.
What did you say, sir?
Do you know the poulterers in the next street?
I should hope I did.
An intelligent boy, a remarkable boy. Do you know whether they sold the prize turkey that was hanging in the window?
The one as big as me?
What a delightful boy. Yes, the one as big as you.
It's hanging there now.
I'll go and buy it. I am in earnest. Now here's the money. Catch. Deliver it to Bob Cratchit, who lives on Golden Street in Camden Town.
But, sir, there'll be considerable change left over.
Keep it, my boy. Keep it.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And boy.
Yes, sir?
Don't let Mr. Gratchett know who sent the turkey. It's something of a surprise. And something else.
Yes, sir.
A very, very Merry Christmas to you.
What is it? Why, bless my soul.
Yes, yes, it is I, your Uncle Scrooge. I've come for dinner. Now let me, and I have a present for your good wife. From now on, I'm going to be one of your most persistent guests. I've changed my... Boy, you'll see, I've changed.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did everything he promised and infinitely more. He became a persistent visitor to his nephew's home and even took Fred into business with him. He raised Bob Cratchit's salary to a figure that left the bewildered gentleman gasping. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He provided doctors for the little lad, and very soon Tiny Tim will have his wish. He will be able to throw away his crutch and run and play like the other boys. As for the three spirits, well, Ebenezer Scrooge never saw them again. That was due to the unchallengeable fact that Scrooge, for the rest of his days, helped keep alive the spirit of Christmas. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
Miami University Radio has presented Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Appearing in tonight's production were John Chapman as Scrooge. Rick Ludwin was featured in the parts of Bob Cratchit and Nephew Fred. Jan Golan played the part of the Ghost of Christmas Past, Ray Smith, the Spirit of Christmas Present, and Ira Rubens as the Ghost of Christmas Future. Barb Francis portrayed the parts of Tiny Tim and Belle. Elaine Pekosik was featured as Mrs. Cratchit. Sandy Dicker played the part of Martha. Ted Patterson was featured in the role of Marley. The technical assistant tonight was John Hunnick. The engineer for tonight's program was Jim Patterson. Your narrator was Ray Smith. This program was produced and directed by Tom Collins. This is Lee Schubert, speaking for the entire staff of Miami University Radio, wishing each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas.